So I don't want to take much of your time away for discussion, so I just limit myself to to six or seven little points, as it were. The first one comes from Adam Smith. He says that the poor are regulated by death. And I suppose that is what we have been hearing about today. The second point that comes out of the papers is this, that the facts of life, living at the bare necessity, the bare minimum, and how they contrast, as it were, to the reality of the fiction that is represented by abstract wealth, and how that abstract wealth, in fact, becomes abstract wealth, namely on the basis of an accumulation of human machines on the pyramids of accumulation. That's the second point I want to say. The third point I want to make is this. The papers showed how the law of private property, what it means, how it is preserved, and how it is, as it were, how it entails an expansive nature. It cannot be, as it were, curtailed or restrained to a particular territory. It reaches out. That relates also to something, I suppose, that comes from Rousseau, who says that the state is there as a collective interest of the private interests. It guarantees that, that people are forced to be free. And this forced to be free, I suppose, could be seen as a metaphor of how the people we are talking about today have been forced to be free as economic categories that can be accumulated as such machines or resources on the pyramids of accumulation. The fourth point is this, that the concept of primitive accumulation is not just one of transition from something that went before to something that comes afterwards, namely capitalism proper, but that it in fact constitutes the very conceptuality of capitalism itself, namely the divorce of a people from the means of production. And the means of production sounds uncannily, as it were, orthodox Marxism, but the means of productions are in fact the means of life. That is, are the instruments needed to exchange in the metabolism with nature in order to subsist. Which leads me to my fifth point, and this is a more critical point. Marx was once asked what he thinks about the future of India. And he said, it will either be conquered by the Dutch or by the English. Now, is that fatalism or fatalism? Or is that an understanding of the realities of the laws of private property? So what we have heard today in terms of waste of life, India, the indigenous people, could be almost seen to derive, and now I suppose show my erstwhile orthodox Marxism, chapter 14 of volume 3, where Marx discusses the counter tendencies to the fall of the rate of profit, namely intensification of exploitation, conquest of new markets, conquests of new workers, conquests of new compliant cheap workers, and conquest of new raw material, which is in fact the expansive nature of capitalist accumulation towards possession by means of dispossession. Now, my sixth point, and that relates to your concept of time, which I thought was very interesting. And in the Old Testament, some prophet says there's a time to play, a time to sleep, a time to eat, a time to kill, a time to dance, a time for everything. Time here is a concept that is connected with concrete human events. It is not something that progresses over and above us, but is in fact concretely dependent upon a certain human experience and a certain human productive or otherwise engagement. But what we are dealing with is obviously not the time, as it were, but it's the time made abstract, something like this. It goes on like that. A rhythm, a unit. It doesn't matter what you do. You're all measured for profit. And that means a time is here. It's a time where time is money. And in, I suppose, social relations where time really is money, a time to live, a time to eat, a time to produce, even a time to kill, as it were, is made redundant, as far as the time to kill is concerned, possibly rightly so. But nevertheless, this point raises the issue of what to do, as it were. I mean, the papers raise the issue of resistance. If Marx was right that the, as it were, future of India was either to be conquered by the Dutch or British, what does one do? Does one go for the Dutch over the British or the British over the Dutch? There doesn't seem to be much alternative between them. There's also the notion that there needs to be a fight, a struggle that ends barbarism. And I suppose one can also say, whatever one does, it seems to be false. When one goes for the Brits as against the Dutch, as far as India is concerned, the alternative is one of degree, but not one of violence and violence imposed. And on that point, I thought, which sort of social practice resistance one uses is somehow ephemeral if one looks at what violence means to concrete population. Is that death, as it were, that is wanted in order for a territory to be transformed into a marketable and commodified raw material? Yet, nevertheless, when talking about what happens to a people, the question of what sort of resistance is the rightful one, the truthful one, the valid one, the one that goes beyond, cannot be easily discarded and needs to be part, as it were, of the critique of what the imposition of private property and the rule of private property means for those still living in conditions of communal property. And these are my few comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you.